to the big show. Yes, Ewan Rankin's done 2 weeks in a row. You heard it here first. We've got a fantastic, what an amazing panel we've got this evening. First of all, we've got our chief reviewer, Paul Righty Wright.
Sir, how are you?
I'm all right, mate. Loved your iOS 7 review, dude. On the money. Yeah. On the money with it.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Absolute top hole, mate. I can't disagree with anything that you said. How you been?
I've been all right. I'm bloody knackered.
You're working hard, aren't you? You've got a new job. They've given you responsibilities and you're actually having to work for a living.
I am having to work for a living.
That's disgraceful.
How the hell did that happen? I've been winging it for years.
Oh, mate. You're amongst a group of people that don't work for a living as well, though, which doesn't help.
No. But yeah, no, obviously in the industry that I work in, our year started this week, so been absolutely bloody manic.
You've got students.
Or coming at my ears, quite literally.
Said the Catholic priest.
Don't stop.
Oh, thanks, mate. Excellent. Well done. Glad you're here. Next to him, Gazmaz. How you doing, pal?
Good, thank you.
Did you like
from last weekend when I did two rugby matches with two very, very, well, in fact, four, because I did one on Saturday, one on Sunday.
You old fart.
Four very good teams. So, yeah, it's Monday. I went to work for a rest, basically.
I refereed the Colts game last year, one of the Colts games, and it was the biggest mistake of my life. Colts games are the worst thing. They're so fast. Did you like the pink shirt that I sent you?
Yes. It was very savvy. Nice. It was funny that I didn't actually realise you were talking about the two teams.
Yeah, exactly. But but would you wear that?
I'd wear it, yeah. Anything for a laugh.
What, so to behind you tomorrow, that's tomorrow's shirt, is it? Or Saturday's shirt?
That will be Saturday's shirt, probably, yes. Gold and green, yeah. Yeah, a bit Australian, green. But don't worry about it.
It is a bit too Australian, long way Australian. Next to Gaz, we've got Jeff. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. And now, you are such an enabler.
I'm an enabler?
Yes. I'm drinking a beer right now, and it's all your fault.
Now, the thing is, you had an L-Mug meeting or a mug meeting, didn't you? Denver mug.
Yeah, they all come and go so fast.
The house that you're at is when you're at D-Mug or whatever it is.
Oh. No, I didn't.
Okay.
I actually was able to get out of Estes Park. And so the same friends that I stay with after the Boulder or the Colorado Macintosh user group,
right?
They're letting me borrow their couch while I hunt for a place to live.
I want to, the thing that always gets me when we do this and you come on the show is that you've got this big Lone Star behind you, which looks like the Dallas Cowboys. And I sit and look at that and think, holy crap, that room is like a castle.
You know,
Who has marble with a frigging big star on the back?
Yeah, I'm not going to confirm or deny because I don't want to take the mystery out of our relationship.
Yeah, you're going to tell me that room's 6x8, aren't you?
I'm not going to tell you.
All right. Before the end of the show, we'll get Jeff. Jeff, drink some more beer and then you can tell us.
All right.
And while we're talking about loose lips, Tom Merritt's in the house.
I blame Jeff for this beer because he's in closer to my time zone. And when he got one, I couldn't stop.
You're all anamorphic, dude. I've got no clue what you... Is it the Fullers that's caused you to be squishy? You look super thin, dude, though. It's a good look.
It happens. It happens a lot.
Okay, mate.
Yeah, I don't know what Skype did. Skype just suddenly squished me. I was fine earlier.
Yeah, see, we used to get with Lanigan.
It's LA, man. They put the pressure on you to be thin here, so...
There we go. Yeah. The Week in Tech. What's been happening this week in tech? Shed loads, apparently. One of the things that really has been pretty good is the fact that there is a youth law. There is an eraser law in California. So anything that you did, if you're in California, that went on the net before you're 18, if you're after 18, you're screwed. But before you're 18, you can get it expunged. You can get it taken off. Good law, bad law?
Stupid law.
Stupid law. We said this on
the This law is in my state, so I'll go first. This is a stupid law because like people who are above 18 don't also have reasons to remove things, and also you can only remove things that you put up. The things you're likely to want to remove more often than not are things other people put up that you would rather not have put up. And in most cases, you can put stuff up on Facebook and then remove it. So I'm not even sure why this law exists.
It exists because we have technologically stupid politicians. They have no idea what this law really means. I mean, when something's on the internet, good luck making it go away, even if you take it down. Once it's out there, I mean, it's out there. So, yeah, I think this is all about stupid politicians.
Well, I picked this story not for the reason that we wanted to comment necessarily on what the story was, because we talked about it on the tech news today the other night. But what I wanted to know was, and you've got to do this, you've got to do this, right? All of us exceed the internet. I mean, when we were stupid, the internet wasn't around. So we couldn't have all of our stuff Facebooked. But what you've got to do before the end of tonight is each of you, including me, has to come up with an event in their life which could theoretically have been Facebooked if it was around that we would want expunged.
Well, what time is it?
It's 8:30 here, so it's cool.
Okay, so...
You're saying yours was 15 minutes ago. Is that what...
Yeah, quite possible.
No, you have to come up with something from your past before the end of the show which was Facebookable, which you would want expunged. Righty's already...
Oh, God,
which,
I can't do
which, it. Which is typical Facebooked event that you would like to be expunged, but it obviously predates the internet because you were 18. You've got to get it before you're 18. Righty's already got his in his head.
Oh, God.
And he clearly regrets this. I would say he's suggesting on his head that he's actually a prosecutable offence, potentially. So
it is.
It is.
I've never told this story in public.
Right, you're going to a bit later, mate. That's the cool thing, is your expungible offence prior to 18. See, that's what you get when you get a bunch of old farts together on a tech podcast.
I can't remember that far.
We all beat the net, so we've got to figure something out. Who's going to start us off? Tom, I loved your story because I've got to say... When it comes to Steam, I'm a bit laissez-faire and a little bit kind of almost unknowledgeable about it. So talk us through your story. It's about Steam.
Hey, sure. So Steam, if you don't know what it is sort of an app store for video games. All the big titles, Lara Croft, Mass Effect, stuff like that. You can
big stuff.
Do it on Windows. Yeah, big names. You can do it on Windows, you can do it on Mac. They actually recently came out with Linux, and that leads us into Monday's announcement. Because they're not only available for Linux with Steam, the application, but Gabe Newell, the guy who runs Valve, has been upset about Windows in the App Store and kind of being shoved back into the desktop in that tiled interface. So he's come out with Steam OS, an operating system that'll be freely available that you can put, and it's meant to be used in the living room, but you can put it on any kind of computer you want and play your video games. They're stored in the cloud, so you can use it wherever you want. You can also stream games from your desktop to a device, and that's where Wednesday's announcement comes in, which is a hardware device. Now, they have 300 of these prototypes that they're having people do a quest to get, but they say next year, 2014, independent manufacturers will start making them, and it's essentially a competitor to Xbox and Sony, a game console that runs Steam.
My question here has got to be, I've stayed away from Steam. I don't see an attraction in it. I'm not a huge gamer, I admit, but I've got my Xbox 360 underneath the desk here, and we've got a PS3 out in the hallway running the TV in the lounge. Steam isn't it strikes me as being the hardcore gamers platform, but there's nothing in this that attracts me towards it.
Yeah,
go on, Paul.
Well, on Steam, I don't buy a lot of stuff on Steam, but a hell of a lot of stuff on Steam is the free-to-play stuff, Team Fortress 2 and things like that. There's a hell of a lot of free-to-play stuff on there, and also a lot of people have bought stuff on Steam already. So if you are to download the OS or get one of these Steam boxes, all the games you've already bought are already there. You know, because obviously they're going to come up with release titles for Xbox One and PS4, but there are close to 3,000 games on Steam already. So as soon as they release that, kind of the market's there already for you. So
that's the attraction to me, is that I buy a game on Steam. First of all, I know it's there for me as long as Valve exists as a corporation, and I can use it. I can change my machine and it's not a big deal. With consoles, it's like, oh, if I change to a PS4, I can't play my Xbox games, obviously. But even if I go from a 360 to the Xbox One, they're not assuring backward compatibility anymore. and I have to buy the machine that that game was made for. So Steam provides me a lot more flexibility.
But is that flexibility going to be eaten up by the fact that they're asking you now to start contributing to hardware?
I don't need to contribute to hardware. I can keep using it the way I want to use it. The hardware just says, okay, hey, now you don't have to come up with your own solution if you want to play it in your living room. If you've been trying to hook up a computer there, we are going to give you this box, and this will allow you to have all the advantages of the Xbox and the Sony PS4 without any of the disadvantages. That's their pitch, anyway.
For those of you that are interested, Angela's coming back. Angela was my girlfriend from last week who isn't.
That's so sweet.
But when she's
never going to watch you again.
Angela regretted coming off. As Tom will in a few minutes. Batwin says Steam works with Game in the UK for downloading the games. Even in the Whitehaven store, there's nothing else in Whitehaven apart from a game and a pound shop, as far as I'm aware. Mark Shepherd says Chrome OS, Steam OS. What's next? Angry Birds OS, which is a good point.
It just gets narrower and narrower.
Yeah. Batwinch, Valve, Steam, and engineering lecturer, as far as I can see it. I mean, this appeals to you, Tom, clearly.
Yeah, it does. And I see the ridiculousness of it, but I think that when you look at a game console and it's like that is an OS as well. That's the Xbox OS. And you know what it can do? Nothing except run on the Xbox. This is a lot more flexible. And it's not even just the OS. The OS says, we're going to free you to put this on whatever computer you want if you're so inclined. If you're not inclined, we're going to sell you a piece of hardware that you can run Steam on. And you can also still put those games on whatever other computers you have if you have OS X or if you have Windows or some other machine. So to me, it's the best way for the person who wants to have flexibility to play video games. And it's not like, well, we'll see if this catches on. This thing is already caught on. They have all the big titles that come. So they're in the pole position.
How close is this to a platform killer? I mean, we're talking about the death of Xbox One, Xbox 360, PS3, 4. If it's as variable as what you're saying there, mate, that's platform killer.
Kind of depends on how those consoles are received. And we won't, it's too bad. We would have a very fair judgment if those consoles were coming out now and this holiday season, we could see, are people going to choose the Xbox One, the PS4, or a Steam box or an Ouya or some other crazy thing, right? Instead, we're going to have to wait until next year. But a lot of people have been predicting the decline of the console market to begin with. This isn't going to help that for sure.
But on the PS4 and the Xbox One, they're kind of glorified. They're just PCs anyway, aren't they, really, at the end of the day?
Right, with restrictions.
Exactly. Mm. So the hardcore gamer is going to go and build themselves a game PC for underneath the TV in the living room. They're going to put a Steam box on it. The free operating system, they're going to log in and they're going to have all the games they've bought for the last 7 or 8 years straight away.
And this works on Mac OS X?
Yeah.
And Linux and Chrome and all of the other platforms.
Yeah, so you can start playing. So you can start playing in the living room and then you can go back to the bedroom where your Mac is or your PC is and carry on playing. So
Belts in the chat room says it's not going to kill either of them. Sounds like fighting talk.
I don't think it will kill either. We get into this thing like ever since iPod, you know, what are the iPod killers? Nothing's ever going to kill anything else. But I definitely think it will change the landscape quite a bit. Right now, it's always been consoles are the leader and then PCs are for hardcore gamers. And that's kind of what you've been saying about Steam. And it's absolutely true. I think this is the one thing that could actually change that equation.
It is good. It's incredibly good. But if it delivers the promise.
Yeah, exactly. We got to wait and see.
Yeah.
Even Steam OS isn't out yet. These are all just announcements.
Yeah. Anything to add, anyone?
I think if they beat him on the price on the hardware, and I think they probably will because the prices of the Xbox One are pretty horrendous, really. And I think they probably will beat them on the price of the OS and the hardware. And like you say, you've got 3,000 games out the door. Where what they're saying $60. Or 60 quid for Xbox One games?
Yeah.
Apparently, Batwinch has tweeted Angela saying that I said she was my girlfriend from last week, and apparently she's replied twice saying, ugh. Which is kind of my history with women for the last 25 years. So, I'm right in there. I have to say, I'm right in there.
Is that the closest you've been?
Either way.
Well, my wife married me based on less than that, so Angela, you got the hearts for me. I can see it. I can see it. Gaz, tell us about your story, because I dread to think what this is about.
I couldn't resist this, especially after last week. I mean,
it's sexy bees and knees.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, it's a combo that is worth reiterating and possibly going forward. Going on, as Ewan had said, from our sexy bees from last week, although they weren't sexy, they just were yellow jackets, which I missed the joke completely on. We now have the world's sexiest knee brace on show. I'm not quite sure it's a knee brace. Apparently, wearable computing often foregoes sexiness in the pursuit of technological advancement. But apparently, one project from the Wearable Technology Lab, there is a...
You are kidding me. There is a freaking lab at the University of Minnesota called the Wearable Technology Lab.
University of Minnesota. Go Vikings. Seeks to make a statement...
Golden Gophers, in this case.
Your franchise is wrong, dude.
Is it? Which one is it?
Golden Gophers for the university.
Yeah.
You got the pro team right. I'll give you that.
Credit for a bloke from Northampton.
Okay, so the Wearable Technology Lab at the University of Minnesota seeks to make a statement on the need to make such technologies make the user look and feel good. Now, get this. You'll like this. The team has created a stocking with a sensor woven into the fabric. This is the bit I like. It can alert the wearer if they are moving in the wrong way. By creating a buzz at the top of the stocking if a leg is bent beyond a certain angle.
I see
a lot of exciting alternative uses.
How far up do those stockings go again?
What is the correct angle, dude? And surely the correct angle is dictated by the buttock. Well, not the knee.
Maybe. It may also be based on who's on top.
Well, what I also liked about this is the video. There's a cute lady telling you all about it as well on this one. I like it.
Is it some sort of fashion sense of like, oh, you're not walking with poise?
I think that's where they're going with this.
Is that the idea?
Yes.
You've
got it in one, and we'll probably go there with my story as well at the end, you know, the Facebook story.
The thing is, there's an international symposium on wearable computers that meet in Zurich.
Yes.
Zurich land is £4 million per acre. And those boys go to Zurich to have their conference. When I worked in graphic design, I started working in graphic design when I was 17. And I used to do the news leaflet, the newsletter for the Society of Maxillofacial Surgeons International. And they used to go to Buenos Aires to discuss cutting people's faces up. They'd go skiing somewhere just for the weekend, just to try and, you know, discuss something that was to do with cutting people's faces up.
I think that's how it should be.
They were like a Bond movie for people's faces. The places they went and you gestard just to discuss for a weekend about cutting people's faces up. And that's what strikes me here. A symposium in Zurich on wearable technology.
I want to know if Apple were there, because they're very interested in wearable technology, aren't they? So,
yeah.
So they say.
They don't go anywhere.
No, that's
true. Wearable computers, no jokes, though. That's the big, you know, that's the next big thing. All the investors are looking at. There's a lot of money ready to be thrown into there. So that doesn't surprise me at all that symposium happened in Zurich. Really pushing the envelope.
Yeah, there was a two-hour lecture on the angle of the butt relative to the knee.
Don't knock it. There's a lot of money spinging about ready.
Righty's just given the first look of, oh, shit, I had a career before I came on this show.
It's all over.
He's the first one to flinch.
Well, if Andy is watching this again, he might revert his decision to come back on.
Apparently, he's coming on the Max Show in a couple of weeks. But
he's safe then.
Yeah, exactly. Apparently, I mean, now, wearable technology, there's a certain element of me which think, you know, it'd be great to find out what they could do with wearable technology. But at the moment, it seems like you got in the States, you guys never had the Allegro, did you? Right, the Allegro is, it was a compact car in the UK that was built out of plastic, but it was before they actually knew how to make plastic fit together. And
we had the Chevy Nova.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
Would you describe it as a piece of shit?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So there you go. The Allegro was a piece of shit. And everything that I see at the moment with wearable technology for
it's
computing
awful.
Is a piece of shit. There's got no real value to it. It's something that you're kind of like, yes, but all you have to do is press here and you'll hear something in your ear. Big deal. It's a set of frigging headphones.
I like the sound of having a buzzing at the top of my stocking.
Well, to be fair, who doesn't?
That's true.
Are you talking knee highs or?
Oh no, no, they've got to go all the way, mate.
Those legs go all the way up.
This show doesn't go halfway, Tom.
Good for you.
We have to go all the way.
No, but think about it. Tablet computing. We said exactly the same thing about. Like, who would want tablets? Microsoft has all these tablets at the 2000 CES, and who the F cares? Nobody. These are sure they can do things, but who would ever want to do that? And they were even more capable at that point than the wearable computing is right now. This is just early days for it. Nobody's come in and cracked it and done the thing that makes you go, oh, that's what it, that's how it should work. That's what it's good for.
No, but that's the point. That's exactly what I'm saying. Everyone's going on about wearable technology is the future, but no one has come up with anything yet that makes me go, yeah, that's a good application of the technology. That's a great idea. There is nothing out there. And I'm sitting looking at stuff that's going like, well, you could... I mean, it really is. There's nothing out there that's got me and go, great idea. Even the Pebble Watch... You can let me see what I've got on my phone already that I can just pull out my pocket and look and people going on about wearable technology with earphones and stuff like that. I've got a set of Sony Bluetooth earphones, which I used last week on the tube, and they are fantastic. The sound quality is unbelievable. Where is wearable technology going? What's the end game? Or what's the even...
Porn. I'm not kidding. It's the sex.
No, you're not. That's the easy answer, right?
Yeah. Jeff, talk us through your porn for wearable technology. But make sure it's clean because I'm not sitting bleeping this show.
If it's not clean, it's not sanitary. Someone's going to catch something. Of course it's clean.
No.
All right. So there's a company that I met at CES this last year, and it's called Oh My Bod. And what they do is they make wearable accessories for the iPhone, and they're sex toys.
Are these for men and women?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
And so they connect through the headphone jack or their Bluetooth, and they react to whatever's happening on your iPhone. You can control them remotely.
So when you say I love John Mayer, it takes on a whole new meaning.
Totally. Yeah. So I think if you want to see what's happening in wearable technology and where it's really going to go, I think look at the sex industry. I think people are just going to flip when they realize that they can link up something that they can wear and have a good time.
It'll flip up automatically because it's clever and it knows where it is and when it should and shouldn't.
Mate, the entire male species doesn't know where it is.
No, I saw a YouTube video.
Oh, cool. That's all right then. The future, I've got to say, guys, come on. The future of wearable technology is porn.
Well, that's been so many technologies, right? VHS legendarily got chosen because the porn industry chose it, right? The internet was popularized, we all know, partly and maybe in the largest part through the delivery of porn.
So just before you go on, Tom, did you guys get the Google Chrome update last night?
I don't know.
Because The bastards there, what they've done is when you close Chrome down, when you restart it, it comes up with a multi-pane view that shows where you've been for the last 24 hours.
Oh, in the bottom.
Bastards. Yeah. I started that this morning. The frigging wife stood behind me. Nothing but you're porn. Screwed. In eight screens, there's nothing but porn.
Don't God you know better America. Than to go into incognito mode before you do that? Come on.
I can't get rid of it. I've sitting gone through. I've spent 3 hours today going through the preferences in Chrome. I can't stop the bloody thing from happening.
Now you've got to go Facebook 13 times, then you're fine.
You have to clear your history, yeah.
Well, that's the only way, but then I lose my passwords, and I can't remember the passwords from my phone.
Our glorious leader.
Am I more upset at the wife having a go at me or not being able to log back into the porn?
Yeah, you're bored with it.
We know
LastPass, man. You need LastPass.
That's a toughie. That's a real toughie. Yeah. The chat, before we went off, the chat room came up. Mark Shepherd, you need help, boy. What the hell is a fleshlight?
What?
He's put in there, fleshlight, don't leave home without it.
I say Google it, and you Google it.
Okay. I'm not Googling. Incognito mood.
Hang on. Yeah. So before the wife
looks at
it tomorrow. I'm not Googling it. I'm on Google Chrome.
Fleshlight.
Just ask the NSA, they'll tell you.
Sax has said in the chat room, you and deselect your passwords, then clear your history. Right, I'm Googling fleshlight.
Yeah, got it.
The fleshlight is available from Love Honey is the first response, which doesn't fill me with any any kind of thought.
Toys for men.
It's a wearable computer.
It's a wearable computer.
Where is it?
All right.
Oh, it's the things that are below it. That is an ice cream.
Right, there's a web link, fleshlight.com. I'm waiting for it to load.
/brand/fleshlight. Don't look at the ice cream, the second item.
I'm instantly offered the Stoya Pleasure package.
Shift Command N opens an incognito window. If you should need that hotkey combination.
Oh, mate, I need it.
Oh, no.
Absolutely.
Oh, I see what. Oh, no. Okay. I see what a fleshlight is now. Oh, holy shite.
I'm afraid I don't know how I come across this, but I've just come across in news that a Chinese man has a new nose grown on his forehead after he had a traffic accident last year. All I can say is they missed.
Yeah, I was just going to say bad aim. It should be in the middle of his face, not his forehead.
I'll put the link in the chat. Well,
that's not judge. You know,
all I can worry about is I've seen what a fleshlight is now, and it's got more accessories than an iPhone.
It has.
Yes. It's got a shower mount.
Mark.
Mark,
you're a sick pup. What's the shower mount? What's the shower mount?
Yeah, fleshlight shower mount. Look. It's.
So what do you mean, look? I'm not on the same page as you.
lovehoney.co.uk/brand/fleshlight.
I'm on fleshlight girls. Do I buy one of these women?
Do I put this in the chat room? Do I?
No, I think this won't be in the show notes.
No.
Mark.
There's free stamina lube with selected fleshlights.
They're £70.
Anyway, back to my stockings.
No, stuff your stockings. Well, no, actually, no.
It comes
you
in black.
Can get these modeled after specific women's vaginas.
I was looking not to say the word vagina in this.
No, the Stoya fleshlight girls forbidden bad, butt fleshlight.
Oh, there's a video started by itself now.
You can get it in a can of beer.
35% off too, huh?
Yeah.
There's someone who's got to clear their browsing history tonight.
I am.
I'm using the Microsoft Surface.
Good man. Say.
Oh, good.
So that's what it's good for if anyone wants to know.
Well, that's my pick of the week.
Always use IE for your dodgy browsing because no one ever looks at
it. Mark says, put it on your Amazon wish list. Can you get the fleshlight on Amazon? Is there Prime on that?
I would hope so, because if you need it, you probably need it right now.
Can you get it on an early release, can you?
Zach says, is this getting cut out? No.
You bastard.
Batwitch says, yes, you can get it on Amazon Prime, but it's out of stock.
Thank you, Batwitch, for your service in braving the details on this.
It must be good, then.
Any Fleshlight models in the chat room?
Man, that's me sorted for Christmas.
This gets dark sometimes, doesn't it?
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's okay. Wearable technology. Where's the end game? Come on. I mean, let's be sensible.
After that conversation, you say end game? Really?
Where's the game of the end? No, where's... come on. I mean, you can't... My point with wearable technology is you cannot stop at a watch. You cannot stop at something which you've got in your coat which buzzes and vibrates the coat to say you've got a phone call coming in. What on earth is there, apart from Google Glass, which has got the closest element to, you know, a visual representation of what's going on in the outside world or what's going on in your phone and that kind of stuff? But
I think, Ewan, that we're a long, long way from anything which will be useful to the man in the street who will be prepared to wear what it is they're going to give. Where this is going is really for the bionics industry when it comes to, putting people who have been in accidents, lost arms, legs, whatever. This is where, you know, this sort of technology will kick in. As to wearable technology, we're a long way from anything, I agree with you, that is going to be man in the street.
Yeah. I think you're right. Although I think there will be a kind of interim early adopter culture around things like watches and bracelets and Google Glass and things where people say, oh, well, I get faster access to my information. And there'll always be people like you and myself, frankly, who are just like, I don't know if that's worth it. I could still pull my phone out of my pocket. But I'm also the guy who thought camera phones were stupid. Like, why would you want a camera in your phone? And that turned out to be like the most popular thing ever. But so I think there'll always be that group that's like, no, I want to play with this stuff until they've refined it. And then I don't know what it's going to be, but somebody's going to hit upon that one thing. And maybe it's even implanted where they say, it really gives you an advantage.
It's got to be small. They've got to go really tiny, because the people that used to walk around with the jawbone, was it the jawbone?
Yeah.
I don't see anybody doing that anymore. It's gone away. I think it's got to become nanotechnology before it comes useful and mainstream.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be taking nothing that's bigger than an earpiece, like you've got on a set of corded earphones, in-ear earphones. Yeah, if you take a piece of technology down to that kind of level that you can stick in your ear and still samples your voice adequately,
yeah,
that's huge. That's immense. Yeah. I agree. Absolutely. Yeah. Jeff, you going to say something? Or was it Paul?
It's probably me. Maybe I've got a damaged childhood, but when I was young, Michael Knight used to talk into a watch and go, Kit, I'm in trouble. And the car would come and save him. And 30 years later, all my watch can possibly do is tell me that my mum phoned me. I'm damaged now.
30 years on from Kit, mate, all I get is to press Siri, and Siri goes, I'm sorry, Ewan, there is a problem. I can't work right now.
Exactly. I'd like you to search the web for that.
Yeah. No, it doesn't even do that.
Exactly. And I was, 30 years ago, I was turbo jump, and he's like, yeah, go for it. You know, it's like... Mom's going, you haven't phoned me in 3 weeks. That's all I get on a bloody watch.
So, Ewan, your problem is you need to work on your communication skills in your Siri relationship.
Oh, have you sat and spoken to Siri and said, you're shit?
No, see, I speak nice to Siri.
No, you shouldn't.
She takes care of me.
No, we get a man. We got a guy called John Briggs, who's a fabulous guy. I follow him on Twitter. He follows me. And I've asked him to do some voiceovers, but he won't do them. Because they're really inappropriate.
He's probably under contract.
I don't know what you mean by why do you hate you on ranking?
if you get Siri out and you go, you're really shit, aren't you? He goes, I think that's a bit harsh.
I say nice things to Siri. Like,
oh, yeah, he says, I am.
Yes, I am.
I am.
Where's it? I haven't got my phone with me. My phone's up. Here we go. No, here we go.
Siri abuse.
There we go. Siri abuse.
What did we say?
Siri, you're really shit, aren't you?
Oh, now you're getting the cold shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all you deserved, Ewan.
Why don't you talk to me anymore, Siri?
He said, after all I've done for you.
Yeah, this
Siri, you're really long, pathetic. See, that's how long it takes to process.
The only good thing Siri does is to say, you are the weakest link. It's the same. It's the only good trick.
It is. But
I'm really sorry about this, but I can't take any requests at the moment.
Now,
please try again in a bit.
Right. Now, I get that. I get that every other time I use Siri. Absolutely. It says it's not worth using. And the one thing I will say is Ellis ran into this phone and knocked it over and smashed the front when I first got it. And I had to buy a new digitizer and I fitted it in and I followed a YouTube video. And at the end of it, I had a tiny piece of gold that was left over. And I couldn't find in the video where it went. And I reckon that little bit of gold was Siri.
Took Siri
because it hasn't frigging worked since I did it. So...
Although, since I've upgraded to iOS 7, he does it every other time. He goes, I can't take requests at the moment.
Right, I'm on iOS 7, and he goes, I can't take requests at the moment. I'm sorry, but I'm shit. I'm bloody useless.
And he hates all my accessories as well.
Siri, you're a pointless waste of time.
After all I've done for you...
Yeah, he heard that.
Yeah, they're crap. Serious crap. Wearable technology. Don't believe it. Jeff, what have you got for us, mate? What's your story?
I think I should stick with the sex toys because that went over really well. But
The original story I put in, I've gone away and I've looked for a sex stories toy instead.
since I don't have another good sex story to toss out.
That's a bad phrase. That is a bad choice of phrase, dude.
Well, you know.
That doesn't mean the same thing in the UK and the US, does it? No.
Well, I cause international incidents all the time. Why should I stop now?
Good man.
Yeah. And I totally got distracted by sex toys. Oh, okay. My story was Samsung. They are innovating yet again. They have announced that they will be releasing a gold Galaxy S4 smartphone.
Oh, did that have you skipping down the aisles?
Oh yeah, totally. And I moved over from the sex toy aisle to the gold Samsung phone aisle just so I could do cartwheels. So it was amazing. And I look at this and I'm thinking, how blatant can Samsung really get with the way that they're just following what other companies are doing right now? And in this case, Apple. Apple announces 64-bit processor in the iPhone. And Samsung says, hey, we're going to do a 64-bit processor, which doesn't matter because there isn't anything on Android that can take advantage of that. And then the gold iPhone comes out, sells out.
It sold out tenfold.
Yeah, and then Samsung goes, hey, gold Samsung phone.
But, I mean, the iPhone, I got to say, we gave it a good old bashing last week, and Carl on the Mac Show was doing the gold thing from Spandau Ballet, and we were saying it was chaff central. You know, it's awful, awfully tacky stuff. But it's sold tenfold. Every story is sold out of 5S in gold first. The story is
chaff's by phones, I think.
Unfortunately,
there you go, chaps, by phones.
Yeah. Are we all going to buy a Galaxy S4 in gold? Does it make it more appealing?
Nothing will make that more appealing.
So the man who's just bought an iPhone 5.
In white, which is chav apparently as well.
I think what Samsung's up to is they feel like they're in front. And they want to make sure that there's no reason whatsoever to choose an iPhone over a GS4. So when 64-bit comes along, they're like, yep, we'll have that too. So if you're thinking about changing, don't worry about it. And then when the gold comes out, they're like, well, that's easy. We could put out a gold and we could probably spin it to say that our gold version is better than their gold version. They're trying to leave Apple no quarter here. And it comes off as being imitative. When they actually have some innovative stuff in the GS4 that the iPhone still doesn't have, I think they would be better served to emphasize those differences than to try to shut down these kind of minor differences.
I mean, I got into a terrible dispute the other week with people on the Mac show about the fact that the iPhone is not listening to its customer base. The customer base tenfold is saying, I want a bigger screen. I want a 4-inch screen, which is not 16:9. I want something which is closer to, not 4:3, but, you know, a bit more 3:2, say, or something like that. And they're not listening to them. And Samsung has done that. Samsung has got the bigger screen. Every person that I see that's using a Galaxy S3 or an S4, I say to them, what do you think of that phone? And they all say, I love the screen. I love the screen. Every Galaxy user says, I love the screen.
Mm. No, you're right. I didn't agree with you before on the iPhone screen because I didn't think it needed to be bigger. Then I got the 5, and that extra inch does make the difference. And when I hold a 4S,
that's what she said.
Yes, don't start. Anyway, but it does make a lot of difference. And when we were off on a trip yesterday, and I was using the my wife's 4S to navigate, and I hold my hand on, this is tiny. And it's only after a week using the 5, but you do actually want a bigger screen nowadays, don't you?
Paul Wright confirming that discussions about size and talking about your hand never go well.
Sorry, what was that?
I think that Galaxy, I agree with Tom here, I think that Galaxy, the Samsung Galaxy has got to beat its own path. It has got to say, we are not following the lead of Apple. We are creating a swathe which is all our own, and Apple will be following our wake because they are well and ahead in a lot of areas. The processors are good. They're fast. No one complains about the functionality of an S4 or an S3 that I've come across.
Well, now, my wife has the S4. She loves it. Absolutely loves it.
Hmm. The only thing that you'll find is people complain about the fact of upgradability of the carriers.
That's a big problem, I think.
If they can get rid of that, if you can get the absolutely true, you know, I'll get the cutting edge version of Android, which is not stripped out for each of the carriers that I've got, then I think that the Galaxy would be far and away ahead of iPhone.
Well, the key is to get an unlocked version. But then, did you see what they did with the Note 3, where they've region locked it? So you buy an unlocked Note 3 in Europe, it won't work in North America, and vice versa.
That's ridiculous.
Do you get a free DVD with that?
Yeah, right?
What region too?
And it's in PAL instead of NTSC.
Oh.
That's an absolute disgrace, Tom.
Yeah. You think, oh, I'm getting unlocked. Oh, wait a minute. I'm in Canada now, and I bought this in Germany. Now I can't use it. The SIM cards won't work.
There was a thing from Kim.com tweeted out this week, and there's other agendas around that guy that I do appreciate, but he said, you know, make great content, make it freely available, launch it globally at the same time, and make sure you don't, you know, rip people out for the price of the content. And there will be no torrent market. There will be no other process that anyone wants to see. And it's exactly, if we're going back to region coding with
crazy.
Cell phones, holy crazy. Crap. Wearable technology, forget wearable technology because we haven't even sorted out the process of actually making a phone call.
Yeah.
Jeff, you got something to say?
No, I'm just totally loving that that we're putting together a show this week that could very well destroy all of our careers.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, if you're really uncomfortable with it, then I fully understand, but you started it. And we've got a freeze. Is there anyone that says that the Galaxy S4 in gold is necessary? Because I don't think it is. I think they should swathe their own path.
No. HTC have done it as well, haven't they?
Yeah, a little bit.
Thing is, I get quite
frustrated.
Of course
it's necessary. There are companies that have got to make money. And if they see that there's an opportunity to sell a product and all they've got to do is change the colour, they're going to change the colour.
But they always follow Apple because why is there a Galaxy Gear watch? Because someone said that Apple may be making a watch. That's the only reason that exists. So they're
which
always
sad.
Gonna, you know, when the Apple keynotes came out, we got a gold phone, we got a coloured plastic one. They had a, you know, HTC and Samsung had a gold phone waiting in the wings because they were pretty sure that it was going to come out. So, always following the lead.
I just think it's not a very smart way to make more money. I mean, I think they could have come up with better ways to counter Apple with something different rather than something imitating them. I mean, I totally get what you're saying. I agree.
I know what you're saying, Tom, but actually, we'll are they the company that has seen as being innovative?
Guys, you need to do that little bit of XML code because Tom hadn't finished.
No, that's all right. I mean, all I was going to say is they can shave a little money off by putting out a gold phone, but I think they probably passed on an opportunity to make more money by putting out a different color phone. Maybe they come out with a silver phone or something. And, you know, I get the countering them. I think that's perfectly natural, but just coming out with the same thing doesn't seem like the optimal way to do that.
Yeah. Because isn't the news saying that the pink iPhone 5C is the most popular one because there aren't many pink phones out there.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, PS4? That's probably the way to go. Gold is just so obvious because Apple did it.
Nature versus nurture is an immense puzzle to me, I have to say. But my daughter is a real girly girl. Now, my wife was a tomboy and I'm a bloke, so she's never got that from us. And she looked at the pink iPhone 5C and she wanted it. She loves pink, and neither of us have put pink in front of her and said, pink's the girl's colour. She just loves pink. She wants everything pink. And she saw the iPhone 5C. She wants an iPhone 5C. She's the only person in this household who wants an iPhone 5C.
I had a very similar thing where my daughter saw a pink iPhone 5C because they announced it first. And then when they announced the gold 5S, she went, no gold. Straight away.
Bryony wants pink, mate. Anything that's pink is a winner with Bryony. We could buy her a pink box at Christmas made out of cardboard, but we sprayed it with paint spray from Halfords. We sprayed it pink. It's fine. That'll be do. That's cheers. Great. Love you, Mum and Dad.
Isn't the gold iPhone the cheapest one to make, though, isn't it? Isn't that the colour it comes out as anyway, isn't it? It's actually before they anodise anything.
Yeah, because all iPhones are born with gold.
Well, no, but apparently that's...
They change colour after a year.
No, apparently after it's anodized, it's gold before it comes out, isn't it?
Isn't that Crimson Tide? all iPhones are born gold, and then they change colour after a year.
Of course they are.
That's Crimson Tide, I'm pretty sure of it.
To a halo of light.
That's the circle of life.
Yeah.
Righty, for God's sake, save us and tell us what your story is.
Oh, God, yeah, I love this. I love this so much. I only saw this today, and... I only do this because I'm an IT tech. But the Kindle Fire, the HDX. It's the new Kindle Fire. It's more colourful. It's faster. It's got a better screen. But
gold.
It's not now with added gold.
No, it's better than gold because you can press a button. And if you press that button, it opens a window. And in that window is a person. And they'll help you with anything that you want to do with your Kindle Fire, of course. And if you look at the videos, it's some gorgeous girl with perfect hair and perfect face in a glass room. She goes, hello, sir, can I help you? And you're like, yeah, well, I've got my 5-year-old coming around next week and I want to put a profile on my Kindle Fire. She goes, oh, yeah, I'll do this for you. If you look at the videos, he's stalking her, for God's sake. Well, it is. It's the same girl, and he's even got his friends waving at her. I'll put the link in, but they're waving at her again.
Do be careful not to say anything libelous, mate.
No. It's all in the video.
Okay.
But apparently, if you press this Mayday button on the Kindle Fire, you will get an interactive chat window, a video chat window with a person. Exactly.
You get an interactive chat woman who says to you, how can I help you, sir?
So that is the selling point. If you look at the website, 24/7, 365 days a year, if you hit the Mayday button, you will get a live person in a video window who can interact with your tablet, who will tell you exactly what you want to do.
She was a sexy woman 5 minutes ago. Now she's a person. I don't believe you, Righty.
That's progress.
I don't believe you, Righty.
No. In the videos, she's a gorgeous person. In real life, as us Brits will know, call a call center, you know we're going to get.
I've got a question around the Kindle Fire, because Tom, you leaked this week about Huddle being released after the press release. We released the specs for Huddle for Tesco, and they're direct, and their stated aim is to attack the Kindle market. And then lo and behold, a couple of days later, Kindle HDX is announced. I mean, is Kindle running scared, or is Kindle sitting thinking, this is not a monopoly anymore, we're going to have to up the game a little bit because there are people popping up left, right, and center who are trying to take chunks out of our market here?
I think Amazon sees themselves as leading the horde, right? They're not worried about Huddle. They're not worried about the Nook. They're not worried about even the Nexus. They're looking at iPad and saying, we're leading the charge against them. And I think they've got their own plan that they don't really react to other tablets coming out. That's the hallmark of Bezos, is he sets a course and then he sticks to it and he doesn't really care what other people are doing. It's very Jobs-like in that respect. So I think that they had this plan. And what was most interesting to me about the HDX was the way they announced it, by inviting the press to come and meet with Bezos in Seattle and not having a big, we're going up on stage. Because I think if he'd gone up on stage with this, yeah, people would have been excited, like, oh, a little man inside my Kindle. That's kind of cool. But they would have started picking apart at it. As it was, now it comes out as sort of like, oh, they undersold this, but hey, you get this button. And if it really works, within 15 seconds of hitting that Mayday button, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, even, you know, right in that's the middle of the holidays, support. You're going to get support.
Yeah, that's massive. That is massive in real terms.
They're going to get inundated. I work in a support environment where we've got thousands of users, and you cannot get to people in 15 seconds. It's I think the report I put with the Register, it's an absolute money trap. Because people are always going to press that button. And probably lonely people are going to press it as well.
Oh, we can do a smart thing of putting it in settings, thankfully.
We can do farther work. Or that nice lady I spoke to last night.
Is there going
to
be a sub-menu that says,
I'm thinking,
do
I'm
you have
thinking
a tech query?
A Kindle Fire just so I can press that button.
Yeah, and half the Kindle Fire technicians are going to get chat roulette bloody content.
I can't wait to see the policy manual from Amazon.
What do you get in 15 seconds?
Yeah.
On the chat roulette button.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you what, she's a ginger as well.
She is, yes.
See, the video I saw was from All Things D, and it was a guy. It was just this guy, you know. It was not.
We get all the good stuff over here.
Yes, I know.
The video I saw, he phones up three times, and it's a girl every time, and then he's got his friends, and he goes, say hello to the Amazon lady. And it's like, oh, God.
Would you like to favorite this tech support rep?
He must have done, but you guys get some bloke who's going to go, I hate you, I hate my life, what's wrong with your tablet?
There was a blog I read today, and I can't remember where I saw it, and I didn't think it was a great article, but there was parts of it, and I'd love to give it credit, but I can't remember it. But it was basically saying that Apple has changed its market, that the market is no longer the cutting-edge geek, it's no longer the graphic designer who buys an Apple II and wants to run crazy stuff on it and do wonderful things with it. It is Mr. and Mrs. Ordinary who live at 25 Acacia Avenue and want to get someone that they can deliver a product that they switch on and they swipe and it just works. And that's where the iPad sells. And it delivers an experience which is different from everything else that's out there. And in terms of Amazon, what does Amazon do? It's got TV adverts now. Once you get TV adverts is average man in the street. And average man in the street doesn't want to know how to go into console or terminal and work out what's working properly and what's not working properly. They want to push the icon for Dan Brown's latest novel, and it starts and it goes to the page that they were at. And if it doesn't, they need a, you know, holy hell, what's going on here? This isn't where I was. What do I do to get this back to where I was? And they need a Mayday button.
Do they want a person on a video?
They want help. They don't give a toss about where it comes from.
I think having the face actually for that level of user is a plus. Like, oh, I can actually talk to a person.
My parents would buy it on that basis alone.
Yeah.
I agree with Tom. Absolutely.
Okay, so what do we know from customer service in the UK. It's rubbish. What? On the video, it's like he presses a button, the girl goes, hello, I'm attractive, I'm going to help you right now. And you're like, no, you're going to sit on a blooming phone line for 20 minutes and you're going to press three buttons, then you press another five buttons, and then maybe we get through to someone who's going to pass you through to another department. It's going to be the same as that. They can't deliver the service they're promising. They really can't.
Well, yeah, your perception is that they won't be able to, but there is no evidence to suggest that they can't.
Well, they need an absolute mega army of support technicians.
But they've got the money for it. I mean, this guy owns spacecraft.
Yeah, I know, but I work in support, and we have an army of support technicians. We support thousands and thousands of people. They're going to be supporting millions of people, and they can't do it.
If we're talking about upscaling from the University of East Anglia to Amazon, I would agree with you, perhaps, potentially, Paul.
I don't work for that institution.
All right, okay.
I do think the advert or the video that is shown on that particular piece shows the same guy talking to the same woman time and time again. They've got to be careful.
Which is stalking.
You're going to get, you know, Joe Average. You're not the same person I spoke to last night.
Yeah. Because there are three videos on that on that promotional vid, and by the third one, he's going, "Here's my girlfriend," wasn't he?
Well, maybe we're looking at this the wrong way. Maybe the idea here is Amazon must not have confidence that they're going to sell very many of these, so they won't have to have a big tech support.
Maybe not. My story is about cloud storage, and which kind of ties in a little bit with this. Microsoft have released that their SkyDrive option is going to go up to 200 gigabytes. It's going to cost you £64 for 200 gigabytes of storage, which is it's a fair amount. And I've started doing the comparisons on that. Apple is giving 20 gig. For £30 and 50 gig for £80. So I think effectively we're talking here, excuse the exchange rate, 200 gig for $90 for Microsoft. Apple is giving 20 gig for $45 and 50 gig for $110. As far as I'm aware, Dropbox gives you 100 gig for $100. So my question would be is whether the cloud storage market really is a viable business at the moment. Because the one thing that's making me think is I'm at the end of my cloud storage, and Apple want desperately to sell me more cloud storage. But the amount that they want to charge me is just a stupid sum of money in comparison to what I'm getting from them. 50 gig at £80 is ridiculous amounts of money in comparison to other providers when I'm only paying £75 for 100 gig with Dropbox. The trouble is the market seems to be holding on to the exclusivity. If you want to link with our cloud storage, you have to be within our universe. And if you're not, you're not. I mean, I would love to say, right, here's my phone. My phone is linked to SkyDrive because that's where I choose to buy my stuff. And I want all my movies from Apple to be stored on SkyDrive, not on iCloud. And I want to be able to get it all down, all the documents I save, I want to come down off SkyDrive. But they don't. The bitrate's not sufficient. There is no ability to start integrating with those things. I mean, where's the future for cloud, I guess, going back to the wearable technology instance? You know, where is cloud now?
It's still, I think, for the general consumer, it's still inaccessible because they don't understand kind of what it entails.
What it means.
I don't think they realise what the cloud is. You know, we know that the cloud is a local copy on your computer and a copy stored up in the cloud. Although they're not sure what that
you
is.
You can't use the word cloud to define the word cloud, Paul.
Well, no, okay. It's stored on another server that is not your computer in your house.
Yeah.
But that is a better backup than having it just on your computer in your house.
Oh, absolutely.
And I get a lot of requests saying to me, my computer crashed the other day. I lost all my photographs, and I get a lot of requests to recover a lot of data. And I do say to people, well, go with SkyDrive, because you get 7 gigs, and that's not bad for a lot of people with photos and things like that. and it probably is the most generous free accessible cloud storage thing that's out there.
Yeah, no, if you buy a Windows phone from Nokia, you get 7 gig of storage free.
Yeah. And I think I mentioned on a show previously, copy.com can give you 15 gigs out the door. So, you know, I think the usage that companies are now giving you is getting bigger and bigger. You know, Dropbox with their 2 gigs out the door is just pathetic.
Well, there's an interesting point here. Sax in the chat room says, 100 gig, question mark. If you need the amount of storage, you're better off getting some hosting. And this leads into UK2, who are our sponsors. But yeah. So UK2 do VPS, cloud VPS and that kind of stuff. But the problem is you can buy that storage space, but then you can't get that storage space to interact with your device. So my iPhone will interact with that storage space via a dedicated application or via a browser, but I can't get my applications or my Apple storage, my Apple content, to work with that VPS, to work with that process. And that's where the real problem lies. There's everything is walled garden as far as iCloud's concerned. Cloud is concerned.
Well, especially when you talk about iCloud and stuff like that. I mean, I think Dropbox and SkyDrive have the best services in some ways. And there's some others like Walla out there that are less popular, but they give you access in as many places as possible. And it's a problem of the operating systems like iOS that they don't just allow you to mount whatever cloud storage that you want. But Dropbox has an app there, and these other companies have an app. And it works otherwise just like a hard drive. Those are the ones I like. I don't like using stuff like iCloud because it doesn't work like a drive.
No. You need stuff that works with a drive and it interacts with the applications that you want and the programs that you want.
Right, just like a hard drive would. Yeah. Right? You don't think about the hard drive having to interact. It's sad that you have to think about that with cloud.
Now, I know Carbonite sponsor the Twit network, so I don't want you to say anything that you shouldn't hear, Tom, but I had, based on the fact that I got it from Twit, I had Carbonite for a year. I had 2 1-terabyte drives in my laptop. In that entire year, through constant connectivity with the net, it never backed up what I had.
Well, Carbonite is for backup, right? And that's a different thing. I actually use CrashPlan for backup, even though Carbonite is a sponsor of Twit. I used to use Carbonite. Carbonite's fine.
Yeah.
And yet I still use Dropbox. Because it's a different thing. Backing up is like, just mirror this and make sure it's safe. And I don't really, it's nice to have access. But again, none of those things, CrashPlan, Carbonite, any of them work like an actual hard drive the way Dropbox does. So to me, that's just an extra level of protection.
My point was, I mean, there was no way for me. There's an awful lot of services out there that are like this. You can't kind of just connect your laptop and say, right, okay, just back up. I'm going to bed. The net is going to go down. There is going to be 5,000 kilobits of bandwidth here available. Use it all and get as much as you can up into the cloud. And by the time I come down in the morning, 2 terabytes is gone. It doesn't do that. It trickle charges everything back to where the backup is.
Yeah, CrashPlan's just as slow. I mean, it's all because on the other end, they can only accept so many incoming connections as well.
And you're getting the same problem with VPS because, you know, VPS is causing you the same issues of the fact that you're sharing a virtual server with other people and there is connections to that server which are limited by the process of the numbers of people that are there, that the pipes are full. Excuse the pun. Anyone else got a comment about cloud storage, about, you know, whether it's a viable option or whether it's been too heavily segregated and too heavily controlled at the minute?
That's exactly it, Ewan. That's exactly the problem. I mean, I think we've repeated it a few times. There's a service for Mac users and Apple users, which is called Dolly Drive, which I keep going back and looking at because I think they're trying to do exactly what you're looking for and the sort of thing that Dropbox does. But, you know, it's just not there yet. It's just not there yet. And Joe blogs in the street. He doesn't know what it means to him yet to have cloud storage. My wife does an awful lot with Dropbox and she's now hit a free limit. And I'm thinking of just going over and spending the money to get 365 Office because she works in a school where she doesn't want to mess about with having to transfer from the Apple applications and, you know, exporting into a Word document format, because it, however good they think they are, they never keep the same formats. So I'm thinking of going 365 because then she could get 27 gigabytes of storage. And it, she's using it the way people expect to use it, putting presentations, Word documents, spreadsheets, and accessible everywhere. But Joe Blogs in the Street, I don't think, knows what it means to him yet.
No. The one time they find out is when I get a lot of people coming and going, my hard drive's failed and lost all my baby photographs. You put it in Dropbox, SkyDrive, and they realise at the point it's too late.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. If you were constantly backing up to SkyDrive or Dropbox, you know, you, at least if your hard drive fails, you have got that. And it's only when it's too late that they actually realise that that's an option, because they don't realise. I think they think that hard drive's lost forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they and normal people do. They think they will spin forever, and they won't. And it's only at the point that they absolutely fail that you should have said, if you'd have signed up for SkyDrive, 7 gigs worth of photos would have been saved.
Mm. I think there's a lot to do yet with cloud storage before it becomes a viable option. And everyone's going on about the cloud, but the cloud is too much of a disparate market to really be any benefit to the average consumer.
But it's not advertised, is it?
No.
The cloud services, you get Google advertising Chrome on TV, i.e. advertisers on TV don't advertise SkyDrive, do they?
I mean, Windrider in the chat room is making a point that Flickr's gone to 1 terabyte of storage now for photos. What percentage of Flickr users actually understand that they have 1 terabyte of storage potentially there for Flickr photos?
How many men on the street know what Flickr is?
No, I'm talking about Flickr customers. Well, yeah, okay, fair point.
How many people even know where they are?
Hands up, right?
That's why they need those stockings that can tell them where they are.
Ah, there we go. GPS stockings. That's what we need.
Knees up, Mother Brown.
And the knees up can tell you exactly the altitude that you achieved.
Absolutely.
No question. Right, we're going to go back to the original story.
Oh, please don't.
Which was sent in by Rich McCorriston. I'll give you a few more minutes to think about this because it's a good one. Rich McCorriston sent in. He said, new laws passed for removal of teen escapades on social media networks unless you're over 18. My question to you guys is, anything that you did below 18, because we exceed the age of the net, that you would want expunged? We'll come back to that. We've got a review. If you'd like to review us, thank you very much for everyone that does send in reviews. We do appreciate it. We've got a lovely review here from MN Wingnut of the United States, who says, let's face it, there's a bucket load of podcasts available, and they're all centered around the news of the week in the tech world. If you're getting a bit weary of the monotony of podcasts, I highly recommend The Big Show from the British Tech Network. With select and rotating cast of contributors, Ewan Rankin pulls together a band of panelists from around the world that aren't prissy talking heads. I clicked on something there and it disappeared. That's why I hesitated. But users of lovers of tech, people with real world experience to discuss what's new and happening, with personal insights and far ranging insights as well. Mostly good people, he says, because I think this is from Chris, who came on the show, Chris Eschweiler. Well done, mate. Thank you very much for sending that in. If you've got a review for us, please post it on iTunes. We'll read all of them out. We've got one from Brazil tomorrow.
Ooh.
Wow.
We got one from Brazil on the Mac Show. A Brazilian has put in the Brazilian...
Stop saying Brazilian.
Brazilian. You can buy Weft for Brazilian. No, that's a different show. That's in the Bunny Show that's coming out on the VIP channel. He's put one in for us, and he sent me a note on Twitter saying he'd put one in the Brazilian web. I'm like, fantastic. And I got a message today saying, can you recommend a good pub in Birmingham? So I said, you're not in Birmingham, are you? And he said, yeah, I'm driving over from Leicester in about 40 minutes. He's in frigging Leicester. He's not in Brazil at all. Leicester's about 30 miles away.
I remember.
Right. Righty. I don't believe we're going to get anyone else's story out, but we're going to get your story about what was Facebookable when you were below 18 that you would want. What would you want expunged?
You're going to do this to me, are you?
Yeah, I'm going to do it. Come on, let's hear it, dude. You've built this up, man.
Oh, God, Jesus Christ. Okay, here we go.
What did you do?
Here we go. Okay. It was the summer of 1994.
Settle in, chaps.
No, sorry. Go back. I was but 15 years old. And I went to the sixth form party at a local nightclub in Norwich. At the time, I was not old enough to attend an adult nightclub. But I spent the night on cider and black.
Oh, dear God. Snake bites.
My first drinking night. I muddled my way into a local nightclub, of which local people in Norwich will know it very well, but I won't divulge it. Drank all night. Was sick on a kickboxer's shoes.
You were sick on a kickboxer's shoes. Did you regret that?
A kickboxing champion's shoes.
Oh, dear God.
Whoops.
That's where it starts.
Really? That's just the beginning.
That's just the beginning.
You know this podcast only lasts an hour, right?
Okay. I'll wrap up quick. I was so drunk. It was like 20 years ago, so I don't mind. I was so drunk that a member of my family who I won't disclose was called to fetch me from said nightclub, who'd also been drinking.
Oh, no.
To pick up their 15-year-old son from a club that he was illegally in. This is not going well. Said son felt sick outside the local police station with said adult, who was over the limit, probably, with said son, who was underage, drinking. Probably not a good start, but we did get away with it. I live to this day that we have not been prosecuted. And probably after this, I wish all my BTN friends a lot of luck and a lot of love, and I'll see you on the other side.
Kudos, man. Kudos.
Right. Good man. Gazmaz, what have you done?
Oh, too much. What's available? I suppose the best one that I'd like expunged, actually, on Facebook was a load of... We were in a pub. Yes, we weren't supposed to be, but, you know, everybody does that. That's fine. But you try not to attract attention so you don't get thrown out. However, on this one occasion, I found that I was able to get a condom, put it over my head, and the old trick of putting the nose and blowing the condom up. Yeah. At this point, we were attracting attention to ourselves, and two of my friends ran out the pub, and that's it. I can't beat the previous story, I'm afraid.
No, that's a good one.
Oh, can I add, at the point that I was outside the local police station with the member of family who was over there, I was being sick outside the car as well.
be sick. The only reason I want that expunged on Facebook is because I didn't actually see the condom blown up on the top of my head. That's the only reason I want to see what happened there.
Mark Shepherd saying this is absolute rubbish. He wasn't drunk enough if he can still remember it.
He must be very young.
And Batwin says, I did loads. I regret nout.
Good girl.
Jeff, what have you got, mate, that you did before you were 18 that you wish wouldn't have been Facebooked?
You know, I was a good kid. I didn't do bad.
Oh. Good.
That's what I should have said.
That's what I should have said. And this is why I managed to stay out of trouble, even though I was causing trouble. There was a party I was at where
there was this one time.
Yeah, this one time at band camp. no one expected me, the quiet kid, to be able to hold his own with alcohol, and so people were daring me and betting me to do a beer bong. And I was like, yeah, I can do this. And so, of course, everyone had to match me. Every time I did one of the beer bongs, they had to do one as well. And I drank everyone under the table. Everyone else is getting sick. And I made money off the bet. And no, that can go on Facebook. I won. Failed on coming
humble
up with
brag.
A good thing.
You want to find a way of locking that in so it can't be deleted.
Yeah, that's right.
Even if you delete your account, it still stays.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a special one. I guess that should stay.
Only you, Jeff. Only you, man. And Tom.
I don't have anything that's better than Paul's. I mean, you should have saved him for the end. That was the grand coup de grace.
Oh, come on. Puking in a nightclub you're not supposed to be in. That's not really adventurous.
No, puking at the police. The police station is pretty good, though.
And on a kickbox.
What did you do?
And on the all I could think of, like you say, if you can remember it, it probably wasn't that bad. All I can think of from before I was 18, because like Jeff, I was actually pretty good until I got older. I'm assuming Jeff got bad at some point. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. But I was at a party when I was 14, and I was picking up a chair to move it over for this girl to have a seat, trying to be all gallant and everything. And I smash into the chandelier of my friend's dining room table, crash it, and glass everywhere. And the reason it was especially embarrassing, and I wouldn't have wanted it on Facebook, it was the second time that I'd done it at that same guy's house.
A repeat offense. Good man. Yeah. I like that. That's a bad one. Very good. Mine's James Baker and I were going down Solihull High Street, and I got a physics lesson because I was 17 years old. James passed his test the week after his 17th birthday. He'd been practicing, and he got a Peugeot that had a sunroof that you wound back. And of course, James was driving. I was stood out the top. James was sober. I was pissed. And the lesson in physics I got was that if you puke at 40 miles an hour, it doesn't go forwards. And what does go forwards then eventually dribbles down the windscreen, and James crashed the car because the windscreen was covered in puke.
Oh, no. that's like a scene from The In-Betweeners.
You just remind me of a really bad story.
Righty, you had your chance, man. We're not doing that.
It's even worse.
Your cat's not blacker.
No, it's even worse. But no.
Right.
I'll tell you later.
This podcast and the other puke fest.
Your story reminded me of lots of stories, which I really can't tell.
No, the other story that you've reminded of is even worse.
Kelly's got a better story, she reckons, but she's not on. The UK2 people, they're fantastic. Have you tried them? They've got 30% off. There's 6 days left on the 30% summer deal thing, and you can get loads and loads of money off. They've got Cloud VPS, which I've got, and I've got Website Builder as well for my Geography Squared site, which is brilliant. Really easy to use. Really, really impressed with it. The UK2 have got a brand new service out as well. They will build your site for you, and not for as much as you probably think. If you've got sort of 10 or 12 pages or something like that, they will create a website for you that does everything that you want, that interacts how you want. All you've got to do is effectively draw out what it is that you think that you need, or draw them a little map in a table, send it off to them. They'll make the thing for you. And prices for websites start at £250. It's not an awful lot of money. They've got tons of stuff out. The Website Builder application is fantastic. I've had my first play with it this week, and it is absolutely brilliant. If you want to support us, support UK2, because they look after us. They pick up all our bandwidth charges, and they provide all of our servers and everything that goes on. And we do consume an awful lot of bandwidth, especially when people like Merrick come on. Makes it even worse. go to UK2. Go through our webpage, though. If you want to sign into your account, go through our webpage. Go through the sponsors link. Click on the logo, and we get kudos for having sent you through then. So they're absolutely brilliant. I've just made a video for UK2 of their London data centre, and it is a great place. It is incredible. I spent the whole day there filming, and the air conditioning system just floored me. It was absolutely brilliant. The backup generator was huge, and it's a great video. It's a really good video, and they're a really good firm. They really care about your data. please support them because they're absolutely brilliant. We love them to bits. Right. Cool things. Here we go. Righty, give us your cool thing.
Well, I'm a big footy fan, but I'm a big footy fan when it comes to playing games on consoles. Don't know why, but I think tonight at midnight, FIFA 14 is released. But prior to that, they've released FIFA 14 for iOS.
Right.
Fantastic.
The advert's pretty good.
Yeah, but the fact that, you know, you take it such a small screen and you can actually, you know, control a team on a small screen, and Norwich are going up, as far as I'm concerned. Why are they laughing? Norwich are going up, all right? But it's great, you know, the fact that they've taken control of the gestures and, you know, swiping and all that sort of thing. It's brilliant. It's free to download, actually. Get some of the basic features like, you know, quick games and tournaments, but you can upgrade to manager mode and things like that. But, you know, the fact that the big games are coming down to things like iOS just shows that, you know, the power of how mobile gaming is kind of moving on, you know. And absolutely brilliant. I'm sure that everyone enjoys a kind of a football game now and then. But it's absolutely brilliant. So give it a go.
Excellent, mate. Good choice. Gaz, what have we got for us? I dread to think. After your bloody... what's it last week?
My flask?
The flask, which was... Oh, Jesus.
Hey, that works a treat.
I'm sure it does, mate. But you don't pick it as a technological cool thing. But go on.
Well, my
I'm not going to love this because I've read the doc. Go on.
Look, I currently do not have a smartphone, okay?
You're not kidding. It's anything that starts with a four-digit number from Nokia is not smart.
No, but seriously, I gave my smartphone to my daughter because she's away in college in anticipation of a certain new phone that was recently released by a company. And I had to go back to this little device here. And I've got to say...
The video's frozen. And
what has he got?
Before you've lifted it... Right, so hold it up again. Go. Quickly. It's still... there we go. There it is. Look at that.
I'll leave that there.
That's like a shining prophylactic
dildo-y
type thing. That's about as much use as well. There's about a week's worth of charge in that as well, isn't there?
Yeah, that's the thing, though. You know, I charge it up and it actually powers the rest of my house for the rest of the week. But this is... I've had to go back to this for now 2 weeks. It's probably going to be pushing 3 weeks before any sort of smartphone.
I bet you have wasted a shitload of time playing Snake, haven't you?
The thing is, Ewan, I've had this 10 years and it just keeps going and going and going. So I thought, yeah, after you ruined my flask pick last
year, you old git.
I didn't want to bring the Werther's Originals because I thought that was going too far.
No.
So I thought I've got my Acme Thunderer as well, if you want to see that.
That's a whistle. Acme Thunderer. No. Man.
The most phallic phone in history.
The Acme Thunderer is a quality whistle. Do not take the piss, my friend, because it's a beautiful
Acme Thunderer, not just your ordinary thin one. It's a wide mouth one.
Here we go. Chat room, brace yourself. Give us a go, mate. Come on.
You ready?
I want a penalty. I don't want a scrum. I don't want a scrum. I don't want a knock on. I want a penalty.
Do you want the arm action as well?
Go on then. There you go.
What?
The Acme Thunderer. That's Acme. What'd Jesus.
Which, by the way, is the name that Gazmaz dances under?
Wile E. Coyote would be proud. Absolutely. Tomo, what have you got for us, pal?
I feel like I should talk about my TI-30 calculator at this point, but I won't.
Is that from Texas Instruments?
Yes, it is. Oh! 1978. Still works like a charm. No, I've got the I've had a Logitech 800 universal remote since like 2007, and it was just dying on me. The buttons wouldn't read anymore. It was just wearing out. And I got to review the Logitech Harmony Ultimate remote, which is this one, through Twit, and I bought it. I was like, this thing is amazing. It's got a touch screen. It's got these programmable buttons, so you can just put, you just have icons for the channels that are your favorites. You just hit them. And the best part is you don't have to point it. It does RF, it does infrared through this little dock thing, which I was a little suspicious. I was like, how's this little, it's like a little pebble type thing that you put in front of your TV. I'm like, is that really going to work? It totally works. You can add apps to your Android or your iOS phones and use those as remotes as well because it connects to Wi-Fi. I think it's something like £220 for UK people.
Yeah, they've never been cheap over here, but they've always been good.
So it's not, it's not a bargain by any stretch, but man, I mean, I can turn my TV on from down here. It's upstairs, but because it's just Bluetooth, I'm close enough that it'll signal it and then it'll blast all the codes out. It works a lot faster than the old Logitech Harmonies too. You don't have to sit there and hold it waiting for it to.
I had the Harmony 100, I think.
Yeah,
that was pretty good. But £220 at Amazon, this is, and it comes with a little charger that you'd rest it in, like a kind of cell, like a Dex phone.
Yeah, one, you had to like lay it flat, and that was getting warped, and so it would beep constantly as it made connection and didn't. Yeah. Cars went by or something. I don't know what was causing it. This is a much better charger now, too.
Yeah, very good. Very good pick. Well, I'll say I had the Harmony 100, and it was excellent. It worked really well.
They make great remotes.
They do. They make good peripherals, actually. We were talking about the mouse the other week for Mac as well.
Yeah, like Logitech mouse.
Mm, very good. Now, Jeff, I've left you to last for no other reason than, damn, this is cool. I've already bought this based on the fact you just dumped it in the dock.
Well, okay. So, ThinkGeek, and that's my tie-in to all technology today, ThinkGeek. They have the coolest coaster set I have ever seen. It's Dexter's Blood Splatter slides done as coasters. And he even has the little wooden box that he kept all his slides in. And it's a set of, what is it, like six coasters, I believe, each one with a different blood splatter pattern on it. And they are just fracking awesome.
Everyone in the chat room is currently $30 lighter.
Yes.
So the blood splatters correspond to like the different killers on the show?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I hope so.
That would be awesome. This is the Ice Truck Killer coaster.
Well, the Ice Truck Killer didn't deal in blood, did he? There was, they sucked all the blood out.
That's a big Brazilian. There he is.
I think these are all, I bought these already.
Oh.
Now, the thing that really grieves me is the fact that the coasters are far better than the end of Dexter.
You can't say that.
No, I can, because I'm not giving anything away. There's no plot spoilers in that. The ending's shit. I'm not going to say what the ending is. I'm just like, after 8 years of watching Dexter. I mean, Eileen tweeted out, Tom. She said that Breaking Bad has really cracked it. The writers at Dexter must be so upset with themselves.
Yeah.
And she's on the money. Breaking Bad, I was like, Breaking Bad at the moment, I cannot wait to get and get the next episode and watch it. And we're lucky over here because Netflix shows it 2 hours after it's been aired in the States, which is brilliant. Otherwise,
I agree with you. I can't wait to unremember the final Dexter episode.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. We're not going to give any plot spoilers. I'll beep them if you say anything. We're not going to do that. But it's shit. It
does make me think Monty Python. That's all I got.
It's awful.
I agree with Tom.
God, they end the series with fish slapping.
Ah, spoiler alert.
Oh, spoilers. Oh.
No fish slapping. No fish slapping.
Well, no one expects the Spanish Inquisition, but now you...
Well, they will now you've told them. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a comfy cushion.
Winters are coming. And my cool thing is the Griffin capacitive touch gloves. There you go. They're available on Amazon at the moment. They're a good price. They're £13. And these are supposed... I mean, I haven't got the smallest hands. to be fair, you know, I mean, if you buy a sausage down at the supermarket, it's probably the equivalent of my fingers. But these are supposedly extra large. And they're pretty snug. But I spend a lot of time working on railway tracks and things like that, and I need something that keeps my hands warm and something that I can use as well. And when I come to tweeting out things like the rugby score and stuff like that, then these are great. And as soon as they came today, I thought, I'll give them a go. And lo and behold, they don't work. Bastard.
Oh, what?
No, they do work. I'm just kidding. There we go. See? Straight away. And I've typed the text with them, and they work. And oh, it's great. Love them to bits.
What about Touch ID, though, huh?
Touch with your finger. Well, you could, I don't know. Apparently, you can get your cat to touch the ID thing, and it'll work. So, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Lick it, and it'll work. But there you go. £13, Griffin from Amazon. And you get Prime on as well. Free delivery. Can't beat that. I've got a cool pick for tomorrow, though, from the Mac Show, so you make sure you watch. Where can we get a hold of you, Righty?
You'll get me on at Paulums on Twitter, and probably not as regularly as you'd hope, but more reviews coming to the BCN as soon as.
More reviews on the way.
Yeah. I've been knackered this week, so I do apologise.
No, no, don't worry. I've sent in a request to Tesco for a review copy of The Huddle.
Oh, really?
They haven't replied. They have pissed off at us.
Asda hate you, Walmart hate you, and Tesco hate you.
No, because we got the stats, we got the specs ahead of everyone else last week and published them, and Barry Collins repeated the tweet on them, and they sent us an email saying they'd launched The Huddle, but they won't send us a review unit.
Oh, the sods.
Nah, good on him. I don't care. We got everywhere this week. It was huge. It was brilliant. Fantastic. Gaz, where are you, pal?
Nice and easy, gazmaz.com. Find me on Twitter, gazmaz. Just gazmaz, easy. I suppose I'll best plug the My Mac Show. I do it with Guy Searle every week. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows, and we take it slightly different slant. Have a laugh, like you guys.
And blowing your Acme Thunder where on Saturday?
Actually, I'm over North Walsham.
That means nothing to any of us, including Paul.
Hello, yes, you are. Hello.
Yeah, I might wave to you as I go past Norwich.
Ah, Walsham.
Oh, that's an awful journey. Northampton to Norwich, mate, is a crap journey.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it. Yeah,
it's crap until you get to Norwich, mate.
So I shall be wired up and everything.
As the crow flies, just for our American cousins, we're talking about 100 miles probably, but it's via the most awful roads you've ever seen. There's no freeway.
Yes, it's not good.
No.
But the destination is paradise.
Yes, it is North Walsham.
Only if your sister's waiting at the other... Oh, no, I promised I wouldn't do sister jokes.
We've got an agreement, Mr. Urangan.
I promised I wouldn't do sister jokes. I cut that one off, boy. I did.
I'll take video. Oh, no, I can't because I've only got this phone.
Play Snake the way there. You're stuck behind a tractor on the A10. Mr. Merritt, where are you, sir?
TomMerritt.com, two R's, two T's, two M's, if you spell it out, TommerritT. I have a novel out that I'll be posting up there shortly, if anybody's interested. It's just a self-published little thing I threw together called Lot Beta.
And it's how many pages? It looks like a substantial read.
It's 164 pages.
Yeah, you can do that. Good man. Send a copy through to our reviewer.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
I will.
Yeah, send it through to Paul and he'll review it.
Paul, you could actually download it for free.
Don't say that. Do you want the paid
Creative Commons
copies?
Versions out there?
No.
I'm on it.
Are you proud of it, Tom?
I'm usually not, but this one I think is halfway decent. Probably worth reading.
Which is probably praise indeed, because most people that are critical of their own work are overly harsh.
But yeah, it's available for Kindle and stuff. So.
Go buy it. Well, then where can they get it?
Yeah, they can go to
the paid version. Say the paid version, not the free one.
Now, the Kindle one actually makes me more money, I found out.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, the paper version, Kindle version, all the versions will be up at meritbooks.squarespace.com.
Good man. Well done. Sword and Laser?
Swordandlaser.com. Yeah, we've been hitting it pretty much weekly. We've been doing a lot more author interviews on the off weeks. So If you're into sci-fi and fantasy books, check that out.
You should come on our comic show, mate.
Yeah, I know. We mention that every time, and then somehow I forget. So
because your comic's out there now, isn't it?
Yeah, 10 states out there. We haven't got it available for public sale, but all the Kickstarter backers got it now.
Yeah, we should get a preview this week and the next week. And Jeff, of course, is on the comic show, and we'll be happy to help promote it.
Brilliant.
Absolutely.
Definitely. You can't be worse than Dave Gibbons.
I can be.
That's so true.
No, you can't. You really can't.
I could try.
Jeff, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
You can get a hold of me at macobserver.com and on Twitter and app.net. I'm Jay Gamut. Both places, like pretty much every podcast here, and then Apple Context Machine, and we have communicators. And then at freshbrewtales.com, where I talk about all the ridiculous stuff I see in coffee shops. And now that I have access to coffee shops again, maybe I'll be able to start writing more posts about the crazy stuff people do.
Dude, you got access to fresh water this week, which is a hell of a coup.
Yeah, I have access to toilets.
No bath water anymore.
Yeah.
And fine beard wear of the year award.
Well, yeah, the beard thing kind of came along with Estes Park when we had to start rationing big time. Showers and shaving kind of didn't happen very much.
Excuse me.
And since I'm probably going to have to go back up to Estes Park for a while, it didn't make sense to shave because I would just end up growing it back in.
It looks good on you, mate. Beards are the thing. Gazmaz is the only one without facial hair. We did a facial hair expose the other night on on TNT. And Gaz is the only one without facial hair here. So,
come on, Gaz.
I'm a virgin.
Oh, dear me. Let's just start down that path again. We'll be back again next week.
Make sure you don't put that on Facebook.
We'll be back again next week with another eclectic panel that will be some of the same people, maybe not. I don't know. Who knows? I didn't book anyone till yesterday. So, I mean, tomorrow on the Max show, the only person that's confirmed is Kelly Gamont. So there could be a hell of an argument between me and her over the 5S. It's crap. We'll see you next week. Big show, 8 p.m. Thursday. See you there. We'll be right back.